ہیں.
Really about the most important. If everyone was committed to love, surely it would override all the other.
Yes.
Okay.
That's one of my feelings. Yes, that there's another overriding feeling that the commandments as such, I'd still use that word at the moment, was given to the Israelites who have been a people in slavery, and they were much down from people, and it's a code of living to raise them from where they were. I just got the feeling that they were not in a good situation to develop spiritually before that time, because they were in such terrible slavery condition. So perhaps a fairly rigid set of standards was a good way to raise those people at that time. And in later times, they have continued to be good reference. But there was a later set of values that came during the Sermon on the Mount from Jesus. I think known as the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are various people with their qualities. So perhaps the Sermon on the Mount came as, in some way, a refinement, a later refinement to the commandments. I don't know if anyone has any thoughts on that.
I found them a sort of a mixed bag in a way. Some of them seemed of a deep level. Others, like thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, and seemed sort of preaching to sort of covering different spectrums of society. Some seem very obvious things that you shouldn't do.
Yeah, deep inside things that we know.
But other things seemed very, seemed more moving on further.
Yes, part of it is almost amusing in today's world, like, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife, nor his manservant, nor his ass.
But that's still relevant today.
Yes, in today's world, that's probably equivalent to
in all our, I suppose.
Thou shalt not cover our neighbours and Aston Martin.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is striking that they are all still relevant today. We still need
Aston Martin.
But it just struck me, if everybody, the overriding thing was love, it would kind of wipe out all the others.
Yes.
But don't you think it's greed too?
It's a good overriding feeling.
Yes, I think, I think some of them are, that they are, what Sally met has taught us in many things. I mean, Sally met said to us that being angry and greedy and all those things aren't good things.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things he has taught us, that was being taught then. And I think some of them are also trying to, for example, the one with the idol, the child have, you know, trying to get them to be spiritual and not to be physical.
Mm.
So the underlying thing is the, teachings that Sally Met's given us, but the trying to get the spiritual bit to come through. And of course, although at that time they wouldn't have understood it, so they've got to do it in such a way that they can understand.
And so many state-related churches still have idols today.
They do.
Yeah.
Most do, actually.
Yeah, that was quite a shocker, really, reading that. I think, is that about it's one of the early ones? Yes, number two,
the second one, I think it is, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they do the sign of the cross, they bow to this one.
I think the sign of the cross isn't so bad, but the actual...
Yeah, do they really mean it?
They bow to the altar or something, I don't really...
Yes, they frequently say that Jesus on the cross is... I can't help feeling an idol. It's spelled out too that no idol in gold, or no idol in silver.
Yes. But then again, you see, Sacramento said there has to be good and bad to balance. So,
But also, George, that I was thinking of the Buddhists, and in Thailand I saw, you know, the gold Buddhas. Mm. Right, you could say that maybe that's not good, but on the other hand, the people have given what they have to be able to create these Buddhas. So that is a good part of it, that they've actually, it's been a giving.
I'm sure perception comes into it. I mean, we can see it as an idol, or we can use it as a focus point.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps the best commitment that one could pass on, say to a child or whatever, would be just say, listen to that inner self, and you should get it. Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's difficult to, you know, when I've spoken to friends of mine and said, well, listen to your inner self. I think we've been lucky with our teaching that it's gone gradually and we've learned to listen to inside, but I think some people would find that very difficult to know where to start.
Yeah. But, I mean, we kind of know, even before that, we kind of, I imagine, each and every one of us knew what was right and what was wrong.
Yes, your conscience.
So this is how come... I suppose they just don't listen to that inner self.
Yes.
Yes, it might be an interesting exercise to try to formulate a set of standards in today's world. Equivalent to...
It's very difficult, I should think.
I mean, I have a feeling that a Prime Minister would call himself a Christian or...
He's a Roman Catholic.
He's a Roman Catholic.
He's a Roman Catholic.
And yet, he was... happy enough to send out soldiers to kill and you know, I find that a bit strange.
That's strange. Yeah. But and they're always young people that have to go out as well, it's all
one of the statistics that...
It's one I can't comprehend anyway, or even I begin to understand.
Yes, one of the statistics that came home very sharply to me was someone said in debate that 50% population of Baghdad is under 14.
What
is
it? Gosh.
Certainly there are a lot of children in hospitals.
Mm-hmm. I want to know where they get all the money from to buy the bombs and all that. Where did it come from?
Go back to these commandments which we so can we remember them all?
No.
That's a false witness.
So in other words, don't lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
don't envy sort of thing, yeah. Don't take my name in vain.
Why shall we this?
Oh, I was thinking that sort of does that sort of mean don't speak of spirit lightly. It's,
yeah, I'm not quite sure actually.
Don't be blasphemous.
It could mean, but I have a feeling it's more than sort of using it like, you know.
Don't use it like false
purpose.
Purposes. You mean that as well?
Could be, couldn't it? Or without sincerity, I wonder if it...
Yes, don't just set yourself on a pedestal for being a Christian or something like that. Yes, that's a number of possibilities.
That's the thing about people, that they can all... Like, thou shalt not murder seems simple, but, you know, for a lot of people, meat is murder.
necessary to put in there. Shall not commit adultery.
But then going back to the earlier thing, Paul, Sally, that said to us that preference, we should be vegetarian, but if we have to meat, then we can. So, yes, you could, yes, that's right. So you could still say it to say some sort of murder, isn't it?
I suppose it will evolve as you develop your, perhaps you read more into each commitment.
Only eat meat if you were truly, truly hungry. I do think if one was really, really starving, then anything would be on the menu. I could be wrong.
Even that plane, that those people that crashed in that plane.
Yes, you know, I can sit here and say, okay, only eat meat or fish, but if I was starving, what would happen?
Yes, yes.
Anything to remember except cannibalism.
Just fade away.
But even then, George, I have to say that plane crash, that the fellow had died, hadn't he? The companion had died, and he was nothing else to eat, so he ate the companion.
Well, sorry, what he said, everything is possible.
Mm.
Yeah. Yes, the adultery one is was very practical, I suppose, and it can just make life far too complicated.
I would say that was quite a hard one, especially in all times. Because they're all quite hard.
Today it doesn't seem to be a problem though, does it, so much? I don't know if that was one for the times or one for... I suppose if you promised something in marriage, then you promised it. But,
if they become priests and what have you, they still so what would that be called?
Yes, I think Solomon said something about that too. So some of the effect that marriage is not designed forever. They're designed for journeying together, but it doesn't have to be forever. I think you said something to that.
You said it, said that.
We had this other Bible we had. It was a really big one, and it said, for some of them, it said quite a bit more.
Did it?
For that one that talks about don't make idols of images, it also mentions about also not even building buildings shaped stone. Because as soon as you cut the stone, you've sort of mutilated it. Something like that. Made me think, we shouldn't, it's better to worship nature outside, like the Druids did in the American Indians. Worship trees and things like that.
Of course, they did use uncut sods and stones.
Rather than...
But we shouldn't worship these things. We should just love them, surely.
Yeah, love is a better word than worship.
I must confess, I didn't have a Bible when I moved here. A lot of books went out, but they went too. My sister bought them. So, okay, my mother's got a big one, but I'll forget that one. So I looked at Catherine's chart, the children one. Much simpler form.
Going back to the not cutting the stones, it probably would depend, maybe where you were. I mean, if you were out in the snow, standing there for some time together, that might not be very practical. So just to have some sort of shelter seems appropriate.
Yeah, you meant a dwelling to meet.
Yes, I mean a church. I can't see that there's a problem.
Well, if we meet in this room,
I suppose there's a difference between living and survival.
Or perhaps building things.
A reasonable situation and building a great Ephesus, raising huge funds through taxation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how the formal church began in Roman times.
Oh,
right,
okay.
I just think how trying to imagine how Jesus or Buddha or all these people have gone about their daily sort of, you know, not worship, that's the wrong word, but religious sort of ideas and things. And I can never really see them as a Buddha going to inside a church to meditate.
Mm.
I think I sort of always imagine him finding a tree or a quiet area in a park or something.
Beneath a banyan tree.
Mm. Or, you know, a bench, it doesn't have to be a. But.
Shadows.
Or even just in his house, but, nothing wrong with the church, I suppose. But.
Well, it does provide a meeting place, doesn't it? And at any time you wish to go pray, it's just to have some sort of building.
But I think it's the visiting us this evening.
Yes, that's right.
Cathedrals or whatever it is.
A meeting place is logical.
Mm.
An all-night edifice is. There seems to be some question about that.
Mm.
Mm.
Keeping it humble seems to be the,
yes.
The
yes.
One of the messages of that commitment. That, so.
You've been listening to us chatter away. I have not wanted to interrupt such interesting words. My time here is limited. And I do not wish to interrupt, but I have something that may give you a lighter food or thought. Your discussions on commitments are quite deep and you are having to stretch your minds, am I right?
Yes.
I'm quite sure that in the coming meetings, the Master will give you more food for your thoughts in this matter. But the little I have come to say to you this time is of a lighter nature. Not quite so woolly. I could not even begin to teach you as the Master does. I would never even try. My purpose is not to teach you the deep knowledge. Do any of you sing?
Sing?
Yes, we have one person here that sings.
I did a bit.
Yeah. Usually another one, but she's off not feeling very well this evening. The lady here that sings, does it lighten your heart when you sing?
Yes, as if I sing the music that I enjoy, yes.
Yes. Do any of you here wish you could sing?
Yes. I try to sing sometimes.
Well,
I can't get
if we're beautiful, I think we probably will try to. And, I can appreciate there's a certain joy.
Joy.
Mm. Well, it has been said, I think, that song is an expression when ordinary words are not really enough.
That is a very succinct and profound thought. But your first word, joy, is joy. Music brings joy.
Yes,
do you have troubled times in your world?
Well, especially at this time.
Indeed. But the sound of music, of being able to express yourself in song, will enable you to rise above the problems.
Yes,
it's a heart and soul lifting experience. Music, song, and those that can do these things.
I imagine that includes the birds. They seem to do it rather well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bird song is from spirit. Can you appreciate that? Bird song is a gift of spirit.
Mm.
Music is a gift of spirit.
Yes.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, that does make sense.
Yeah, I think it's too sort of beautiful almost for it to be a man-made thing.
Because different people enjoy different sounds to the music or the singing
or the chorus.
Yes, I have sometimes felt that birdsong is a great gift. It one can be amongst trees, and the birdsong makes the world a beautiful place.
Indeed, a gift from spirit. To lift your spirits. I am speaking very lightly. We could speak in great depth, but that is for another time.
Yes.
But I ask you, if you can feel music, feel the vibrations, it can help you in so many ways. There is a healing color to music. Does that make any sense to you? Music has a color. All music, whether you consider it to be melodious or just a cacophony of noise, it has a healing color.
Yes. Does that relate to the colours of the auras of people listening to music and how that music changes the colour of the aura?
Were you able to see auras, you would see a changing spectrum of colour. Yes, you would. And more so with those that are in need of some spiritual help. I say to you, the sound of music can be far more beneficial, then your portions and powders in your world, unfortunately, they are used far more than they are necessary. But we can do little about that. Certain of your powders can be like poison. And we are hoping in the eons of time that these will be replaced. We are moving on now to deeper things, which it is not my purpose to speak of.
I have read of one who cured herself of cancer through listening to music, so that is very much in line with what you're saying.
Yes. The power of the healing colour of music.
There is, of course, that Evelyn Glennie, who's a percussionist, who is stone deaf, and she plays in very well-known orchestras. She's excellent.
Indeed. Therefore, is that not proof positive that her gift comes from the spiritual side of her?
Yeah.
Mm. Whilst she is playing, her deafness is put to one side. She is unaware of this in the physical, but it is with her spirit ear that she plays this music. Mm.
That makes sense.
The music is a powerful healer. I leave that information with you, and hopefully it will be of benefit to you in times to come.
Thank you very much.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. All music, I repeat, whether it be birdsong, which is from spirit, or whether it be the native drums of your jungle areas, all has the power to heal.
It's all vibration.
A very good word, my friend. Vibrations, which show themselves in sound. When you all come to our realms, the music you will hear will be nothing like you have ever experienced in this world. We have healing areas. It is the only word I can give you, an area where music is a constant source of healing power. We send lost souls into this music and it envelops them like a soft down, and the spirit, which is troubled, absorbs the vibrations of music. That is something I hope one day someone more learned than myself will be able to talk to you about in greater depth.
Now, some of the Tibetan Buddhist ceremonies have some very strange sounds which one would hardly describe as music, but I suspect those vibrations are very subtle and may well be healing and reaching spirit.
What you consider to be a strange sound to another may be as the song of the missile thrush.
Yes. Yes.
It's the same with language, isn't it? Each language sounds different to each person, so that must be true with the music. The voice is vibration, isn't it?
Were you to be spoken to in a language known only to the, shall we say, Inca tribes,
mm-hmm.
it would be a cacophony of sound, would it not?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But to the Incas, it would be melodious and understandable.
Mm-hmm.
You are right, it is the same with music. Which is why I speak lightly now. But some music to young people in these times is most unacceptable to the elderly people of these times. But that has gone on generation after generation. But to each one, they can hear wonderful music. Let each one accept their own music and let it do its will to their spirit. We must all learn tolerance in these things, Miss Greeno.
Definitely. Something we could all do a little more of. But you also, you when you hear things enough times, you get used to them and then you begin to like them just because you've heard them so many times, because it's familiar.
Think of that not as physical, but spiritual. The spirit is rejoicing in that sound because it is bringing joy to the spirit.
I was just thinking, there's lots of sounds which we take for granted, like the buzzing of a bee or purring of a cat, which is all very pleasant.
Those sounds, like the bird song, are musical, therefore come from the spirit.
Yeah.
I leave you to think on that.
I think of that when we listen to birds and say thank you.
May you hear your music through all the days of your life. Thank you for allowing me into your rooms. It has been a privilege.
You're welcome. It's been a privilege. God bless you.